Hey everyone, welcome back to Bitcoin Banter. I've got Rick and Tony as always. We've got some good news to highlight. Well, some good news and some bad news to highlight this morning. And we'll jump right in here with Russia. So Russia has legalized Bitcoin and other crypto, but I'm sure we know what most are going to use for international trade to bypass sanctions. So the censorship resistance on display. It's I think this is an interesting use case and one that we'll dive into. I want to point out one thing though, just so we're clear on the story. So it says that the legislation also includes regulations on cryptocurrency mining and the circulation of other digital assets, but maintains the ban on cryptocurrency payments within Russia. I think that will be addressed once they realize, oh, this works. So any initial reactions to Russia?
Yeah, of course, it was unavoidable. I mean, the charade that they were playing, how many times did they ban it and unban it in Russia? It was like the fifth or sixth time already. And it was unavoidable. What else they're going to use? The sanctions imposed upon them obviously clearly did not work. They're just more of a like a, an annoyance than a hindrance, because there is that option available. And this is them just sending a clear and direct message to the United States, telling them, well, this is how we're going to proceed now. And this is exactly what it is. And having them ban it within Russia, that's just like you're just wasting time, because you can't ban, transacting in something that you can't censor or regulate or control, right? So it's just a matter of time before people just do it anyhow, and you'll just cave into it because it's a bottoms up movement. So you can try, people in power try to do all sorts of, retarded things. This is one of them. It won't work. It's just, they have to do it because it's their job to, make that, make the, make those decisions, right?
Eloquently said, as always. Rick.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as they started putting sanctions on Russia, I think that was maybe shooting themselves in the foot a little bit from the US's point of view, because all it's, the US, like the US dollar gives them a lot of the US their power, right? Because they can export inflation, control like international trade. And I think as soon as you put Russia on sanctions, it's inevitable that they're going to look to find ways to trade with other countries. And I think all the BRICS countries were looking at trying to make alternative payment systems for a while. I don't know how successful that was, but they just pushed them towards the inevitability of saying, well, hang on, actually, it would be beneficial if we could all trade with one another outside of the US dollar system, right? So, I think the sanctions were a bad idea from America's point of view in the first place. And Russia adopting Bitcoin was like all countries eventually, right? It's another inevitability. And like Tony says, like banning it internally, I don't know what the logic is there. Maybe the government thinks we try and suppress it a little bit because we want it in government hands rather than the people's hands. I mean, that doesn't really surprise me that much. But like Tony says, it's all smoke and mirrors, right? You can say we're going to ban something. I mean, China, God, over the years, I've seen China ban and unban Bitcoin like seven or eight times. Like it falls on deaf ears now. You just think, I remember the first time China came out and said they were going to ban Bitcoin. It was pretty funny. Like the whole market, man, you should have seen Bitcoin Twitter back then. Like everyone was running for the exits. Everything was on fire. It's quite amusing. But I think everybody realizes now that they can't do that. And I guess it fits this theory of maybe we're heading towards this multipolar world that's, best fit for a sovereign individual, like the people Tony trains, right? Like, how do you secure your money? How do you move across borders to where you're treated best? And, yeah, I guess it's just going to continue in this fashion, right?
Look, I mean, it's peer-to-peer technology. You can't stop that. It's like saying I'm going to stop the sun from shining or the wind from blowing. This is what I hear when somebody tells me, "Well, we're going to ban Bitcoin." Yeah, well, try. Give it a whirl. See how far you get. It's like it goes back to the old days of barter. If I want to trade with you with like old shoes and socks, as long as you accept it, the trade's done, right? Who's going to stop it? You ban shoes and socks. Okay, I'll use pencils and erasers. As long as you accept it, that's also fine. So peer-to-peer, there's like a million ways around any retarded decision to try to stop it. This is why it's absurd. And historically speaking, it always takes, that retarded decision to go over that pushes something over the edge. And I think the weaponization of the dollar was the US's breaking point. Like that moronic decision they did in Lebanon when they decided to tax WhatsApp conversations and blew up the entire country, right? It was the tensions were growing, but that was the trigger. And it's not something nuclear, it's something as stupid as, taxing a WhatsApp conversation. Like, who even contemplates such a thing, right? So when you decide to weaponize money against a country, well, what do you think everybody else is going to think? Well, if they can fucking block money from reaching Russia, what are they going to do to me? Like, I'm going to be like disintegrated. So why would I still put myself in that predicament when I know there's an option nobody can touch?
Yeah,
But
this is just an opportunity for one of Bitcoin's best use cases to be put on display for the world, right?
absolutely.
I mean this, like, that's what I think a lot of people don't realize is their hostility toward Bitcoin often turns into an advertisement. It's it's this is like real world practical stuff. You have all these talking heads. Well, Bitcoin has no use case except, crime or money laundering or whatever. It's like, no, here it is. This is it. And it's a it's a large energy-rich nation that's about to show the world how this can be used. And I don't even suspect Russia recognizes those implications. I think they just think they're coming up with like a clever workaround to, the fiat construct that they've found problems with. So, one comment, Tony, though, Bill Gates is trying to blot out the sun, I think. So we'll see if he succeeds.
Bill Gates, I don't know what his future looks like, but I don't think it's going to be a very good one based on everything he's doing.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it's a nightmare. All righty. Rick, closer to home for you. So the UK Treasury draws up plan. Actually, I say the UK. I don't really know how all of that works, but the Treasury draws up plans to bring capital gains tax in line with income tax to fi fix broken Britain. So obviously, I think we can all agree that taxes suck, but one thing I'll say is, you listen to folks like James Lavish or Larry Lepard, Luke Gromen. They talk about really like our optionality at this point with the debt situation is austerity. So you tighten, you stop spending so damn much. You tax, you bring in more tax revenue, which to a large extent is out of their control in a recession or what have you. You default or you print. Right. Like those are really the four options that we ultimately have. So while I would obviously agree with the assessments I'm sure you guys will provide that taxes are horrible and evil and theft, this is one of the four options, like practically speaking, to resolve a debt situation that every major economy faces. But let's talk about the implications and your thoughts.
Well, the desperate times, desperate measures. This is what it is. I mean, the UK is a failed nation as far as I'm concerned. It's not everything about it is full rot, at this point, and they're completely bankrupt. It's very clear. This is why they resort to this nonsense, bringing up whenever you see a country bring up taxes, you know that it's completely inefficient. And that they have nothing else of value to provide other than coerced citizens, essentially steal from them in order to fund themselves. I suspect smart money would pack up and leave. I mean, that's what I would do if I was a UK citizen. There's no chance in hell I'd sit there and just put up with this rubbish. Again, you vote with your time and money. I'm like, I'm out of here. Adios. And if I have to break my citizenship with that country to do that, so be it. Because at the end of the day, everyone needs to value their lives, their freedoms, the priorities of their families. If you're dealing with a criminal organization, as one like this, you have to look out for yourself. And this is how I would proceed. And I suspect smart money would do the same, or at least find other ways to counter this rubbish.
Yeah. Rick?
So, you can probably tell from my accent, I live in the UK, hopefully not for much longer. I agree with the headline, like Broken Britain is exactly the way I'd describe the situation over here at the moment. Things are pretty dire. I mean, in typical political fashion, the Labour government who just came into power, they spent months telling everybody they wouldn't raise taxes on working people, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, they've been in power for weeks, and obviously that's now spun on its head. And I mean, what's really stupid about it is it's almost as a disastrous decision as the Americans saying they would sanction Russia, because all you're going to create is complete brain drain. And the truth is, the smartest people in the UK and the people creating a lot of economic value have probably already figured out how to not pay their quote unquote fair share of taxes anyway. And look, let's get right back to the point of why we're into Bitcoin in the first place, is if they can print money whenever they see fit to fund whatever insane policy they come up with whenever they want, then why do they need to tax the constituents? Just print more, right? Like, inflation is just an indirect tax. For me, it's just more in line with the constant subjugation. It's about keeping you in line, making sure that there is no way for you to accrue wealth. Because here's the crazy thing, right? They've printed so much money that the normal person now doesn't realize it, but they've been forced into becoming speculators, right? Everybody plays this game now where you take any savings that you have. You know you can't keep them in currency because it will get debased. So what do? You put it into stocks and shares, or you buy investment properties. And now they're basically, the government is so broke that they're even closing that escape hatch, where if you gamble and are successful and you win, then they're still going to come and make sure you can't escape and take all your wealth. So, it's just another form of control and coercion. And like Tony says, anybody smart enough is going to think, well, hang on, I can get up and I can leave and go where I'm treated best. And the good thing, the one good thing at the moment about the UK is that you can leave, and it's not like the US, right? They won't continue to tax you wherever you are in the world, right? You can leave, go and live in the EU or on another continent, and they'll leave you alone. But yeah, to agree with Tony, like, I think people should be making plans for this now, because the raid is coming, and I'm sure it's going to happen all over the world. The governments are broke. They are flat broke, right? And who's going to foot the bill? It's going to be the same people that foot the bill every time. It's going to be us. Just like in 2008, when we bailed out all the banks, we are the ones that provide all the value. They are the parasitical classes. So the only place to balance the books from is with the shirt off your back. So yeah, crazy, crazy times. The rate now can be up to 45% that you'll get taxed if you're a higher earner on your capital gains, which is, I mean, do you understand how successful you have to be in the market to just outpace that? Is just, I mean, obviously it's on the profits, right? But yeah, the whole thing is absolutely mad.
But you also have to consider, like, why wouldn't they do these things if everybody just complains but complies at the end of the day, right? Like, I mean, if you have a corrupt government, it's like a Disneyland for them, knowing they have a populace of idiots that just do whatever it is that they're told, right? You have to factor that in. Now you might argue, oh, but the people are afraid that I'm going to go to jail. Well, if you know these laws are bullshit, that you are, literally being robbed. Why are these laws respected? Why are you not, doing anything possible to tear up the system, right? Like, why are you
For
putting up
me,
with it?
yeah. The people in the UK, I think what I see is they are ang I don't think they're scared, they're angry, right? Like, you see people chopping down surveillance cameras, rioting, going crazy. But I think the problem is, Tony, they don't understand. The education system doesn't teach people about money for a reason. They don't want you to know. So, like, I guess that's what makes your
No,
story so important,
but
to
this
let
is
them
not
know.
about that. This is not about this. Like, when you're bullied by someone, you clearly know this guy is bullying you, right? So Why do you keep putting up with him? Because he has the title of government? Is that all that's paralyzing you? Is that like your kryptonite? If you know this is a gangster, right? If somebody came up to you on the street as a bully, how long would you tolerate him beating you up before you'd react? Right? I mean, think of it that way, because that's essentially what's happening, but in monetary terms.
Yeah. Well,
So how long are you going to put up with it? That's the question.
I think the fail safe is that it's not a perfect fail safe, obviously, but these folks desire power, right? And at the end of the day, if they piss people off enough, they lose power still to, I mean, there's still an opportunity for not, that's not to say that the next person doesn't come in and do something similar. And I think that's eventually where we do reach that breaking point and people say, enough is enough. I can't even afford groceries anymore, right? But at the end of the day, all these guys I mentioned who are talking about these four solutions, their base case is always they're gonna print because these sorts of taxes are politically unpopular. Because it's not sustainable, because there is going to be a brain drain. The people who are savvy enough in the markets to be able to afford that are going to say, why would I stay around and afford that if I could go somewhere else? And that's what we see. Like in the US, we see this in California all the time. I mean, California is just coming, like every day they have a new stupid idea that's hurting children or it's hurting taxpayers or it's hurting someone, right? And you always have the ability to vote with your feet. And so while there are four technically potentially viable options, there's really only one thing that's going to happen long term, and that's what they're going to print. So I completely agree with you. I think we probably just haven't reached like that. You reached peak pain in Lebanon, right? Like the only option was action or die and suffer. And I think we haven't reached that in much of the West yet. When we do, yeah, I think you're
My concern with all of this is that it leads to violence. There's no way around the violence. And I can categorically tell you with 100% certainty, you do not want to see this type of violence. When people are pushed to the bleeding edge of desperation, man, they get very creative in very violent ways. And this is why I keep saying it's a movie no one has seen before. So how long are you going to put up with it before you have no other options but to turn to violence to survive? Right?
Yeah, too
It's
long, unfortunately.
yeah, okay. But at some point, you reach that breaking point, and that's a scenario that concerns me the most. My only, grain of hope here is that for the first time ever, we have this option to defund the situation, to defuse it before it gets to that level. But if 99% of the world is clueless or puts their head in the sand because they don't want to know anything for whatever reason, then at some point, that option no longer becomes available to you because you have more numbers on the side of desperation than not, right? Like those that have done their work and looked out for themselves and protected themselves by opting out, those will be fine because they're probably living in safer jurisdictions. Their money's safe because it's outside the system in full Bitcoin self-custody. But for the majority that don't do that, haven't done that, then they realize, what am I supposed to do now? Well, when you don't know any better, you resort to your human instincts, which are 100% violent based. That's the scenario that I fear the most, because if you get stuck somewhere where that breaks out, good luck to you.
Absolutely. Hey there, just a really quick break from Bitcoin Banter, and we'll be right back. Wanted to remind you that we, the Bitcoin Way, are the leaders in achieving self-sovereignty, whether it's self-custodying your Bitcoin properly and securely, protecting your online life and keeping it private, or even coming up with a plan B option in the event you would need to move yourself or your family elsewhere. Go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a few minutes to learn more from a member of our team. We hope to see you soon. All righty, we got one more news story. So Sailor stacking some more Bitcoin. So this to me is like the equivalent of like my daily spin on the Fold app where I earn like 15 sats. This is him just like getting pocket change. He only bought 169 Bitcoin for 11.4 million. What is this?
It's a
This is
tip.
This is a weak stack. So they now hold well over 1% of the total final Bitcoin supply. What well, hang on. So here's the question. Not what do you think of him stacking? What is MicroStrategy going to do with their stack? Like, what's their end game here besides just being highly valued?
Well, it's clear to me that it's not about money anymore. There has to be something bigger planned, in the back end. I think he's perhaps thinking of becoming some sort of a bank, like a Bitcoin-based bank at some point in the future, in some way, shape, or form. Because like, what are you going to do with all this Bitcoin? Obviously, it's not about being rich. That's we've already he's already cemented that. So there has to be some bigger purpose. If it's something as immature as just like a flex, look how much I have. Well, it's a bit silly, but I don't think someone, that intelligent, who would resort to something so immature. So I try to put myself in his shoes. Like if I had all this Bitcoin and I continue to buy, like what am I gonna do with it? I would probably do something like a bank or some sort of structure where I can give back to the world, especially in areas that have not been privileged before, and sort of, like elevate that part of humanity forward. This is what I would do. Because, I mean, what am I going to hoard all this money for? For what? Like, even if I were to leave it to my generations, like, how much can they possibly do? Like, are they going to eat more? Are they going to fly more? Like, what are they going to do more? There's a certain point where it becomes like irrelevant how much money you have. So there must be some sort of bigger purpose. At least I hope there is in his case, because otherwise, I don't know why he's doing it. You'd have to ask him.
Rick, any thesis on this?
Yeah, I mean, it's Tony brings up some interesting points because I've thought similar things about other people where I just couldn't get my head around it. Like Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger. Like sometimes you look at guys at that age and you think, like, God, you're worth so much money, right? It's like I always describe it like this. Imagine having a fridge full of cheese, right? And looking in the fridge and being like, oh, I must go to the shop and get more cheese. I mean, they have such an unfathomable amount of cheese, right? Like, why would you ever want more? But I think some people just love the game. They just love the accumulation game. And hey, I think the other thing that Saylor's doing is it's just fascinating, right? Because what he's doing is he's diluting his shares, right, to raise more paper to put back into Bitcoin, right? Then the Bitcoin rises in value, which increases the share value, right, over time as well. And then what does he do? Then he dilutes the shares again and gets more paper. And then he takes this paper and he buys more Bitcoin with it. And then Bitcoin goes up in price. And it's like this infinite money glitch that he's discovered. It's almost like Michael Saylor and MicroStrategy have kind of got their own money printer now. But the weird thing is, it's like he describes it, a speculative attack on the US dollar. And I mean, hey, look, we wonder why he keeps doing it. I don't know. If I suddenly found my own system for, gathering this much Bitcoin, I guess it's pretty fun to do, pretty addictive. Yeah, man, crazy. And I like Tony. Like I don't know anything about Michael Saylor, right? Never met the man. See, on all his podcasts, very measured and clearly intelligent. But I don't know what turns him on and what he likes to do. Like maybe he just wants to go fishing when he's older, or who knows. But I love the idea that he might do something positive for the world with it. Let's hope so. But yeah, I mean, look, that would be a lovely thing, but I guess we can't count on it. So I mean, I don't know how many more signals people need. That maybe, just maybe, they should acquire some and have their own little micro strategy for their own treasury, right? Because like you've got Donald Trump on stage talking about Bitcoin reserves for the US government, you've got Michael Saylor and MicroStrategy own 1% of the supply. We must, by this point, be miles away from the point where everyone thinks, well, this might but die next year. Well, clearly not, right? So yeah, I hope people it's fascinating to watch, but I hope people take the signal that, like, boy, you're running out of time and competing with these buyers, that's like something else. So It seems, inflation adjusted, Bitcoin is ridiculously cheap right now, in my opinion. By the way, I hate talking about price. I'm thinking about what it's worth in 20 years, by the way. I have no idea what it'll be in 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. But to me, I think it looks like a deal. I'm certainly trying to acquire more, so.
Well said. Yeah, you're going, Tony.
No, just step outside into the real world, man. It's like oblivious to the max. No one has a bloody clue about what's going on. And if you try to talk to most people, they look at you like you landed from Mars.
Yeah, I don't, Tony. I only speak to Bitcoiners now. I don't have to, I just can't handle it anymore, bruv.
The worst answer I got, actually, it was the most shocking answer, was when I was trying to describe it to a one of the a waiter at a restaurant. And he, you know what his response was? Does the government allow it? Is it legal? So I'm looking at this guy and I'm like, just give me the bill, please. And let's order some dessert, because this guy was so far out there, in the cluelessness, perspective.
Where do you
There's just no,
start?
it's like there's no fucking point having a conversation with this dude. He is so out there. It's going to take a miracle to even bring his attention anywhere near this conversation where it's supposed to be. And most folks are like this, sadly. So, when Bitcoin is worth in fiat terms, I don't know, like millions or billions, then all these dummies are going to be like, oh, why didn't anybody tell me? This is what I see happening, and it's going to be like the Guinness World Record for the number one regret of the most number of people is how the hell did they miss this?
That
Public education.
is true. What's that?
I was just going to say the public education system produces very slow learners.
And people with deep regret. Like for sure. I mean, I think about like my like friends and family. Like my brother's got some Bitcoin. I've convinced him, but he hasn't like studied it. He's just like, okay, yeah, like I trust you. And I've been like, hey man, just like get a DCA going, like just a little bit. And he's like, yeah, oh yeah, I really need to get on that. And it's gonna go to the moon. He's gonna be like, oh, I should have done that. I completely forgot, should have done that. It's like, dude, come on, man. I was telling you for years, but that's gonna be a lot of people's story. One thing I'll say on Saylor is I remember seeing a clip. This guy asked him, he said, what's a question you've never been asked that you would want to answer? And he thought about it for a minute and he said, what is something good that you're doing for the world? And the guy said, okay, well, what is it? And he said, Bitcoin. And so it kind of makes me wonder if like it's gone from this monetary instrument, like the only place that makes sense for Saylor to put his money into, sort of like Tony, where you are, like it's a mission. And the more he accumulates, he may not know exactly what the future holds, but it gives him optionality. And so a Bitcoin bank or Lightning liquidity, or it's like it's a means of potentially perpetuating Bitcoin's hope to unreached communities, to people who aren't getting on board right now. So I think there are probably a lot of I don't think we could fully appreciate all of the number of ways that this amount of Bitcoin could be leveraged for good or potentially for financial gain in the
Who
future.
knows, man? Who knows, man? But as soon as you understand money and Bitcoin, it becomes very clear that the money you cannot afford to lose cannot stay in fiat. This is why you put it in Bitcoin. It's not a risk putting it in Bitcoin. The risk of you guaranteeing its loss is keeping it in fiat. That's the enigma that a lot of people are struggling with.
I think that's a good place to close. Put your money in Bitcoin, everyone. It's not a risk. It's the only thing that makes sense if you've done a little bit of homework. Gentlemen, thank you. Thanks for taking time as always. For anyone watching, thanks for tuning in. Check out the Bitcoin Way. Go to the bitcoinway.com/podcast. Schedule a time with our team. We'll help you with the real self-custody setup, fully self-sovereign, online privacy and security, giving you plan B options. We've got a newer service, de-Googled phones. So if you want to bring privacy to your mobile life, we've got you covered. Check us out at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. Gents, thanks again for the time. Look forward to catching up next week.
Always a pleasure, Michael. Thank
Cheers.
you.
See you, man.
Cheers.